Welcome to Let's Talk Frog.
Welcome to this episode of Let's Talk Brock podcast. Today, we are joined by William Gachalian, who graduated with honors in 2022 from the Sport Management Program and now is a current MA in Applied Health Science and Sport Management. William has numerous experience in the sport industry on and off campus. William is an assistant coach for video and analytics for the Brock men's basketball team, who won the OUAs last year. He's also the video coordinator for the Hamilton Honey Badgers, who won the 2022 CEBL Championships. William also interned for Canada Basketball in 2019, then was hired full-time in the summer of 2020 and 2021. He was also named the Toronto Raptors Wayne and Teresa Embry Fellowship Finalists in 2020 and 2022, which is a huge accomplishment. We have much to discuss today. Thank you so much for joining us today, William.
No worries.
We'll jump right into it. So to start, why did you choose sport management after graduating in 2020? What made you return to complete an MA in Applied Health Science and Sport Management?
Yeah, so in 2020, when I was graduating, on the cusp of graduating, really, COVID started kind of being a thing, and I wasn't really sure what the next, realistically, I don't think any of us knew how bad it was going to get. So just looking ahead, even just for the next year, I kind of anticipated that the job market wasn't entirely going to be what I was expecting it to be. And so I started just exploring my options, talking with my parents, and I kind of came to the conclusion that I wasn't really sure what I wanted to do yet. And I ended up deciding just to go upstairs and have a quick chat with the academic advising office, with the great staff that we have at Brock, especially in the sport management department, and kind of their advice. And really, they said that the option was there if I wanted to do a master's. So I decided to apply, not knowing what the next few years would look like. And I ended up doing it, super happy. I really enjoy the research that I'm doing. But really, the trigger point was not knowing what the future was going to look like. And really, it bought me a lot of time to try to figure that out. And so I definitely feel like I made the correct decision on that side of things.
Perfect. And are you enjoying it now?
Like the program? Yeah, I'm doing my research on leadership in youth sports basketball teams. So obviously super relevant to where I am and where I want to go. And yeah, no, I'm really enjoying it. My supervisor, Dr. Van Bossel, has been great, especially with accommodating. You mentioned a bunch of the basketball stuff that I do. So understanding that really the academic side of things isn't always going to be the first priority, and kind of understanding my long-term goals and giving me the freedom to kind of space out my work as I need to do it.
So we'll skip to the next one. So being named a finalist for the Toronto Raptors Wayne and Teresa Embry Fellowship in 2020 and 2022, what was the process like? Why did you apply? And what was it? How did you feel being named a finalist, considering that's such a huge, huge accomplishment?
Yeah, so I was always aware of the Wayne and Teresa Embry Fellowship ever since I started at Brock. And it became a thing in 2017, and I had my eyes on it for a while. Just was never ready, never the right time. Just being in school, I knew it was a full-time gig, and I knew that as soon as I hit kind of graduation in 2020, it was the time to go and apply, just based on all the experiences that I had at Brock and kind of outside, which I'm sure we'll get into later a little bit. But it was just the right time, and from there, I did the finalist kind of application, which was I had to do a video. I went through just I had to submit like my resume and everything, and then I was selected from I don't know how many, probably thousands of Canadians across Canada to be a finalist in 2020. I repeated in 2022 again. Just felt like it was the right time based on my increased experiences. Just the feedback that I got the first time was that they didn't know where to fit me, so I kind of found my niche at that point. And so, no, it was really great. The interview process is super intense and taxing. You go through basically 3 days of regular interviews, presentations, group work, and networking and stuff like that. So I will say it is super intensive, and but it was a lot of fun. I mean, the presentations that I got to do were super relevant to what I'm interested in the basketball space. And you know, it was unfortunate not being selected as the fellow. But that being said, a lot of the finalists who aren't selected as fellows end up going on to do really, really great things. For example, the gentleman who was selected as the fellow for my year is a assistant coach with the Raptors out of five now. Rachel Van Wozik, who was a finalist with me in 2020, she is now the head coach with the Nipissing Lakers. Same with Roseanne Joly. She's the head coach of the University of Ottawa GG's women's team. And she was also with Montreal Alliance. So just because you're not selected as the fellow doesn't mean it's a bad thing. It's just you're really connected to that network and you have that a bit of cachet moving from place to place, understanding that the Raptors at one point in time were interested in you and makes other people a little more interested in you and helps you get through that door.
And are you still involved with them today? Like, do you still do anything with the Raptors?
Not really. Outside of just keeping connected with the network and the people that I want to keep talking to, like I saw Rachel when we were just up at Nipissing and we had a great chat. That network is the reason I was a part of the Hamilton Honey Badgers this summer with my colleague Will Rooney. Just I'm constantly leveraging that and finding, and it's interesting being connected to like-minded people who are kind of in the same field as you. So when opportunities do pop up, then I kind of am top of mind for a lot of these people just because they understand who I am, my skill set, and that, you know, there's a bit of legitimacy behind me with the brand of the Raptors and everything that I've done.
Our next question is the Brock men's basketball team. They're an extraordinary team to watch at Brock in the Bob Davis Gymnasium. What is it like working closely with the team since 2016 and you moving up in like position wise yearly? And how much time do you spend with the team? And has your experience elevated your passion for sport? And Ty, we can answer after is what was like being a part of the OUE championships this past May when they won? So a lot of questions there.
Yeah, so I guess I'll break it down from section by section. So I kind of came into Brock not knowing what I wanted to do. The really cool thing about the first year course, Speedman 1 P92, which I'm not sure if it's still is still a part of the course, but we were required to do, it was like an 8-hour volunteer session or something in sport. And so kind of a lot of people jump towards the same stuff, and I just made up the decision that I wanted to be picky. I couldn't tell you why I decided that or what the impetus really was. I just, in my head, I'm like, I want to do something interesting to me. And so I emailed our head coach at the time, which was Charles Kissy, and he kind of gave me an opportunity, and I really just ran with it. And I just kept kind of getting responsibilities more and more as we built over time. And you know, I've kind of seen it all. I've gone through three head coaches in the past 6 years, so 7 years now. And so it's been a lot of change, but I've really learned from each coach as I've gone along. And it was really a really great experience because I also didn't have to leave campus. It was all self-contained on one spot. And really, I was the person who kind of drove that experience. And that's what I think a misconception is about me and how I got to where I am. It's that I was just kind of there and around, but I kind of make things look easy. But behind the scenes, I really do work quite hard. And I kind of grinded a lot, especially in my early years, to try and figure out what I wanted to do. And fortunately enough for me, the coaches that I had believed in me enough to give me the freedom to explore what I wanted to do. And I kind of transitioned from doing a little bit of video to then going full-fledged to operations, which led me into my Canada basketball experiences. And then kind of over COVID, learning a software called Sports Code, which is what I do now. and where I focus on video and analytics. So it's been kind of a whirlwind, and I like where I sit now. I like having kind of an impact on the game of itself. Obviously, in operations, you do have an impact because the smoother things run, the more the guys and the coaches can focus on basketball. But that being said, I really just enjoy being embedded in the basketball side of things. And so that was the biggest change for me, being named like an assistant coach and kind of growing from where I was. And from there, the OUA championship. So it was a long, long 6 years. And we had really, really good teams early on in my career with Charles Kissi. We had some really solid teams, but we were never able to get kind of over that hump to win in the playoffs and win those bigger games. And so, obviously, with the ejection of one Mr. TJ Law last year, he really helped push the team over the top. And it was just, the feeling was just elation. I think I never won a championship. It was my first championship that year. And I mean, there's nothing quite like it. And I always kind of mention it because I did win the CBL championship just a few months later. And that was my first year with the team, with the Honey Badgers. And you kind of, I did enjoy it, and I do feel like I was a big part of it, and I really savored that moment. But there is something about being with a team for 6 years and clawing your way and finally getting there. So I will say that the OUA championship does mean just a little bit more than the CBL one, not to kind of put down any champ. I love both of them, but it definitely, there was a different feeling when we kind of got to hold that OUA trophy in Bob Davis, where kind of I've spent X amount of hours over the past, at that time, 6 years. And it was great, even having just alumni come back to support us and celebrate with us, guys who were part of that, those early teams, just to see them celebrating us, because really it was a real grind for us over the past 6 years to try and win.
Really good, especially like you said, you started from like just from a course 1P92, and then you made your way up to a championship. That's pretty awesome, right there. You kind of just went into our next question was this was with the Honey Badgers, but you like you said, like that one was kind of the Brock OUA championship didn't mean a little more just because like you said you were with them for so long. So yeah, that's awesome. Our next question is, what was your experience like with Canada basketball? And you touched upon it quite a bit, already, but what was it like interning with them? And can you expand on your role as the intern for the men's high performance and then your role as the leader of team services? And was your internship what you expected the sport industry to be like? And what skills and knowledge did you gain from working with Canada basketball?
Yes, so again, it's a little removed from kind of like what I do now, but it was really focused in operations, and I actually got the internship kind of by accident. I was just really just networking and interested in talking to people. My boss at the time, who became my boss, but the gentleman who was the high performance manager, was David Grundman, a Brock alum. He graduated before me, I think in like 2014 or something. And so I was just interested in just meeting him and understanding how he got to such a high position being so young. And he ended up just pe looking at my LinkedIn, asking for my resume, and he just flat out emailed me and asked me, like, would you be interested in the internship? We can interview you. And so I was like, yeah, sure. So I ended up driving into Toronto and just doing the interview. And kind of bada boom, bada bing. And I was offered the internship, not knowing. I actually, funny story is that I was not going to do an internship. I decided I wasn't going to do an internship earlier on. So then I kind of entered kind of, okay, problem solve mode. And luckily, Katie DeVoe, who was the experiential coordinator at the time, was really accommodating and understood kind of my rush. And she was able to get me into the course and do all that for me. But really my responsibilities lay in just helping the teams run, organizing and running training camps, being there on site for operations, making sure everything ran smoothly. Really my main point of focus, not just as an intern, but moving forward, was travel. And so I kind of became the requisite travel expert, I guess you could say, with our men's teams and organizing flights, getting people from point A to point B, and just arranging that type of stuff. So my first summer as an intern, it was great. It was a lot of grunt work, but I enjoyed it. And it was like pre-COVID, so everything was normal. We just did our training camps. I got to work with the senior team. I traveled to Winnipeg. Funny enough, Winnipeg is kind of where I started. And depending on when this is getting released, I don't know when it's getting released, but I'm at the time, maybe when it's released, it'll be official. But I'm going to be the next director of analytics for the Winnipeg Sea Bears. So that's kind of funny how my career started in Winnipeg, and this is where my next step is going, kind of as we move along. Anyway, so that was really cool. I got to see a lot of our young talent before they hit the main stage. So guys like Shaedon Sharpe, who's in the NBA now, Ryan Nembhard, who's in at Creighton, Caleb Houston, who's with the Houston, sorry, Orlando Magic. So, and then I got to work with the pros, and so that was a lot of fun as well, just seeing the wide range. And basically from that point on, I impressed them enough. It's just the makeup of who I am. I think I took really good, like really, I was prideful in my work and had really good attention to detail, and which is really important in an operations role. And so they offered to bring me back the following summer. COVID hit. And then I just kind of did a lot of remote admin work for them that summer. And then team services lead the following year. It was again still middle of COVID, but we were full go in terms of sporting events. It was the summer of the Olympics, the Olympic qualifying tournament in Victoria. So I was down in Tampa at the Raptors facility, working with these guys. I was away from home for about like 6 weeks. And we were just on the go training camp and then the tournament in Victoria. Unfortunately, we lost to the Czech team, and so we didn't qualify for the Olympics. But it was, I mean, just a really great experience overall, just seeing and understanding what these guys need and how high level these operations have to go in order to accommodate guys at this level. Because there's a certain expectation for NBA guys for things to be run a certain way. And so no, I really enjoyed it. Operations is a little stressful, and it was a little removed from basketball. So I was kind of looking for a way out, I will say, at that point, to try to get more into the basketball realm. And I luckily enough, Coach Willie Manigat gave me access to our sports code license at Brock for an entire summer. I learned the software, and that's kind of where my journey into video and analytics began. And leading into kind of what I'm doing, what I did last year, what I did with the Honey Badgers, what I'm doing now, and then moving forward, what I plan to do for the rest of my career.
Everything's just coming full circle, and like you have so much experience from in the sport industry, which is awesome. So almost our last question is, with the many experiences you have in the sport industry, you also took an elective here at Brock called Brock Choirs. Could you expand on this course, and do you have previous experience in a choir?
Yeah. So the funny thing about me is I might be the weirdest, most interesting person at Brock. What a lot of people don't know is that I went to a school called St. Michael's Choir School in Toronto. And so it is a choir school. And I sang in a choir, traveled around the world. I did tours to Italy, across Canada, and all that stuff. We did concert tours, sang for the Pope. We're kind of a world-renowned choir school, and I did that for 9 years from grade 4 to grade 12. And so coming to Brock, I honestly just missed it and wanted kind of why pick an elective that I'm not all that interested in. It was an easy way for me to get involved back into the music realm, and I really enjoyed it. It was kind of funny going in because no one really recognized me. Most of the music major, it's a requirement for the music majors, and they all know each other. And I kind of walk in, they're like, "Who are you?" And I'm like, "Well, I'm in SPIMA." And they're like, "Okay." So that was a lot of fun, and I enjoyed my time doing it because I did miss the music aspect of things. And really, it was just a nice escape for me once or twice a week, just to go out and do something that I spent 9 years doing. And so it's funny looking back at it, because I went from a choir school doing a lot of music to now working in basketball at a pretty high level. So it's kind of like I took a real non-linear path to get to where I am, and that's kind of the beauty of all that. It's like you never really know what life is, where life's going to take you. But I will say that the skills that I learned at the choir school and stuff like that do serve me well to this day.
Do you still like sing now?
A bit in my spare time. Like I have a guitar and whatnot
Okay.
on the side. The guys still keep trying to convince me to sing the national anthem in one of the games, which is not going to happen. So I hear about it every day. You know, you singing today? No, I'm not. I'm not. So I do sing. I won't say that I'm the greatest singer, but I can definitely hold my own tune.
Great. Well, we're basically done. So just to wrap it up, what advice do you have for students, especially in the sport management program, when finding an internship and landing a successful job in the sport industry?
So I actually I thought about this question a lot over the past couple of days since you sent it. And it may be bad advice, it may not, depending on how you take it, but really just be fluid and open to all opportunities. The main thing for me is when I've actively sought out opportunities and looked really, really hard for something, I've actually never gotten anything. But when I've kind of let things come to me and open my doors, open my, like, looked around, open my peripherals to see what's really around me and what the opportunities are, that's when stuff has kind of floated and ended up in my area. And the main thing is you have to let the work speak for itself. I'll come back to it. A lot of people have a misconception about me that because I'm a little nonchalant, you'll see me around the halls, you'll see me kind of around, and I don't look like, you know, I'm not hyped up on caffeine. I'm not, you know, tweaking and running all over the place. But that doesn't mean I'm not working hard. It's just I have a certain persona that I like to present, and that's of being someone cool, calm, and collected at all times, which is something that I pride myself on a bench in a basketball game. And I just let the work speak for itself. I have worked really, really hard over these past few years. I'm confident in who I am. And really, that's how I've gotten to where I am. But also for current sport management students and future sport management students, it's understanding what are your goals and what are you willing to sacrifice. Because I didn't have a typical university experience. I didn't get to go have the social life that everyone had because on most weekends, I was on the road. And then if people were, you know, my friends were hanging out afterwards, I'm cutting film. So really, what are you were willing to live without? What are you willing to sacrifice for your long-term gain? And that's kind of the message. It's, you know, and that's what I learned from the choir school. It's what the sacrifice for a higher purpose. And really what I've done now is I've sacrificed a lot. I've sacrificed my summers. I haven't had traditional summers. I've worked in basketball. I've missed out on friends. I've missed out on family occasions. I've missed out on a lot of stuff that you would get in a typical university experience. And a lot of people ask me if I regret, and I say no, because I'm super happy with where I am. Kind of, I don't really think about my accomplishments much until kind of someone like you asks me or lists them out, and I'm like, wow, like I did a lot. And really, it's because my resume didn't start when I graduated. It started when I got to Brock. It started right away. And really, I cannot come back to that sacrifice thing. I sacrificed a lot, and I continue to do so because it's the only thing I've ever known, and it's not for everyone. If you're happy at just doing your thing, going through the program, just coasting through without kind of putting in extra work, then you have to be willing to live with the results at the end, and you could be fine, but you also can't look back and say that I wasn't able to do stuff, because Brock has too many opportunities. Amanda, you know, you work in game day, you do a lot, you're doing this podcast. There's too much opportunity at Brock for you as a sport management student to not get the experience that you want. It's whether you go out and take it. And that's kind of the message. It's you have to go out and take it, but if you don't want to, then you have to live with that result. But for those who, and I've seen it, those who actively go out and seek out opportunities and continue to do so, always, almost always have success. And that's kind of the messaging, I think, that the lesson that I want to push forward is just there's so many opportunities everywhere at Brock, but you have to be the one to actually go get it.
That was great. That was the best advice. That's always my last question too, like what advice do you have? And I think a lot of sport management students can take from that for sure. Thank you so much for joining us today, William, and sharing your experience and your journeys at Brock University and the sport industry. It was amazing hearing your stories and the many successes you've had along the way. You had a remarkable story, and I hope to hear from you soon. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Amanda.
Thanks for joining us. If you have any questions, you can contact us at brocku.ca/discover/contact.